The second reading is from the Gospel of Truth. The Gospel of Truth was found in 1945 in central Egypt by two farmers. As far as we can tell, it was written about the same time as the Gospel of Luke. It does not have a central story. Instead, it is like a meandering stream that bursts its banks unpredictably. As it overflows with joy, fulfillment, and sensuousness, this gospel by turn sounds like a poem, a letter, or an ecstatic sermon. It has also in its initial translations a kind of a jumble of pronouns. I've tried to clean them up so that the characters are a little bit better. God's wisdom meditates on the word, and God's teaching speaks it. God's knowledge reveals it, and God's patience is a crown upon it. God's joy is in harmony with it, and God's glory has exalted it. God's manner has revealed it, and God's rest has received it. God's love made a body for it, and God's trust has embraced it. In this way, the word of the Father walks in creation as the fruit of God's heart and the face of God's love. It bears all things and chooses all things, and it receives the face of all things and purifies them, bringing them back to the Father, to the Mother, Jesus of boundless sweetness. Word of God, word of life. Good morning. I want to just say a word of my deep thanks to all of you for your powerful hospitality in these last 4 days as I have been with you. It's been a real pleasure. I want to thank you deeply also for the powerful work you do here in your community, for your courage in the way you think and raise the good news of God in all kinds of powerful ways. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a true blue dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all human beings, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. I wonder if any of you have heard that before. It was not discovered in the desert of Egypt. I want to raise your hand if you've ever heard that poem before. Okay, 1, 2. This is a very famous poem of the 20th century written by E.E. Cummings. As you can see, it's actually quite like what the Gospel of Truth is. It is both poetry and prayer at the same time. Its images flow over and under around one another. It is so joyful and deep, it's almost ecstatic. It is about someone who says they are dead and are coming back to life. They are reawakening. I like this poem a lot. It's a prayer of mine regularly. But I speak it mainly because I think it helps us take our first step into reading the scripture of the gospel of truth, because it also has that same prayer-like character, that deep joy, and that powerful poeticness. I'm going to read part of the gospel of truth again throughout. It's too long for us to have not more than three sermons. And so we'll be going through about three of the verses in the gospel of truth. Here, as we let this scripture guide us, we do not primarily ask what God wants us to do or what we should believe. Here, as in most prayers, we mostly just seek God's presence this morning in our experience. God's love makes a body for God's word. In this way, the word of God walks in creation as the face of God's love. God's word receives the face of all things, bringing them back to the Father, the Mother, Jesus of boundless sweetness. Let me stop there. You notice that, again, the words in their ecstasy of prayer just fall over one another. So God is in the text itself, in Coptic, is the Father, the Mother. And then the mother gets connected with Jesus of boundless sweetness. The first line of this part of the Gospel of Truth's poem is, God makes a body for God's word. Let's stay with that first line of this text and ask what kind of experience of God it pictures. God's love makes a body for God's word. Another way of saying this might be, God's passion and God's commitment makes a body for God communing with us. Or maybe God's passion and commitment makes a body for God's communicating. Or more directly in specifics of God's passionately committing to our world, what do we mean that experiences God? God is passionately committed, I would want to say in our experiences, to worms, ping pong, and dancing. What do we mean? That experience of God involves God's passion for worms, ping pong, and dancing? God is amazingly connected to worms, if you hadn't noticed it, because the worms have created more than half of all the soil on the earth. God and the worms are passionately making body. And secretly, many of us are probably joined by God in the raucous and beautiful passion of ping pong and dancing. These are the experiential content of God's deep love and passion. That God is passionately committed to all this and makes God the source of the real passionate bodies of factory workers, circuses, and human couples. At the same time, it makes God the source of the greater body that holds circuses, factory workers, and human couples together in a larger reality. God's love and passion is quite different than asking what the right belief about God is. In this scripture, God is experience and experienced. Trinity, divinity's commitment to surprise, confidence, trust, humor, waterfalls, openness, challenges, and playfulness breaks boundaries in our lives. God's passion for all this is not just in rituals, but in cousins tracking down each other on Facebook, fisher people helping underwater coral start growing again, and a three-year-old inventing a song. The next line of the text is, "In this way, the Word of God walks in creation as the face of God's love." Here, too, let's see if we can let this prayer-like line go into our own experience, allowing the real experiential terms of how the Word of God walks in creation as the face of God's love. In this way, God's Word walks around in creation as the face of God's love. God communes in creation as the face of God's love. God communes with the world as a St. Louis bus rumbles over the pothole. God communes in the rush of the tides on the beach. And with an African-American young man and an old white woman trying to understand each other. God communicates by walking around in creation, and this reveals the very face of God. God communicates with the water and a young African woman wading into a creek to get water for her house 3 miles away. The experience of God is clear when the stranger offers to take a picture for the old friends reuniting for the first time in 4 years. God communes, God conveys, divinity is present. The third and final line of this text is, God's Word receives the face of all things, bringing them back to the Father, the Mother, Jesus of boundless sweetness. As God walks around in creation, God receives the face of all things and brings them back to the Father, to the Mother, who is Jesus of boundless sweetness. A divine face appears in communion with creation. God receives the face of all things and unites them with the divine face. God brings all experiences close to us. Mother God and Father God receive the faces of the chimpanzee, the moon, the young woman driving the trash truck, the dragonfly, the graffiti on the side of the factory, and Jesus of boundless sweetness himself. The face of all things, the frog hidden on the tree, the child with a disappointing report card, the opera or rock star singers, the worker as he slips and falls onto the railroad track. All these merge into one larger divinity, that of Jesus of boundless sweetness. The sweaty fragrance of two people embracing, the rags of Jesus with the perfume of all humanity, and a tart plum in the mouth of a squirrel come back into Mother and Father God. God's face of love receives the face of all things, bringing them back to the Father, the Mother, Jesus of boundless sweetness. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the Son's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all human being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awaken, and now the eyes of my eyes are open. This is God's good news. Amen.
Amen. Sit there.